A little bit of Beethoven there, and we have quite a bit of Matej Volsky here, and we're going to hear a lot of Beethoven in this year of 2020, aren't we, Matej?
Yes, good morning, Vern. Yes, well, you know, probably a lot of people know, or they will know within the next few weeks, because it's going to be all over the airwaves, that, you know, this year is the 250th anniversary of Beethoven's birthday, right? So, when I was creating this edition of the M Show, since our show is tomorrow, you know, early in January, we are getting a very, very good jump start ahead of everybody else talking about Beethoven. So hopefully we can unearth a few little things that people didn't know about Beethoven. And, you know, and as the M Show, that stands for Music, Mayhem, and Mystery, I started to translate it a little bit better for people that actually it stands for the science, comedy, and art. So, because I think the other things are kind of very difficult to explain. Mm-hmm. And with that, it's a little bit easier to grasp the concept.
And so that's really good, specifically as you're going to bring Beethoven out. And then, of course, as with so many great experiments and efforts and artistic things, how you can take seemingly unrelated elements and learn something, you know, all the good stuff happens on the edges, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the one of the things that I've been really thinking a lot lately is that, you know, when you look at something that musicians do, is this an art or is it science? And then when you actually really start getting into it, and if you think about how the education in the olden days was called, I mean, you know, science was considered an art, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I really honestly feel like we're going back into the kind of the Renaissance feel of that in my mind, because, you know, if you're a great artist, but you don't have especially in today's world, a technology or platform to deliver your art, you know, you don't exist. On the other hand, if the method of delivery of your art is not proficient, whether it's your technique of playing your instrument or your instrument itself, or if you're trying to put something, God forbid, on a social media. I mean, if you don't have a good picture that looks nice or something, you know, again, you just don't exist. So the intersection of science, technology, and art, I think it's really where we as artists, performing artists, are really going. And the M Show really tries to find the kind of happy middle where we can combine all those elements, throw some comedy in it, because, yeah, I think there's still a perception that classical musicians are very serious people. And, you know, and show people that not necessarily so, especially when you take us out of the concert hall and put us into a place like Knitting Factory, which is essentially a fantastic bar with a nice stage added to it. It completely changes the feel. It creates a experience that is very, very different from what you would normally imagine as a classical music performance.
And so that is the M Show, which is tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Knitting Factory, which is the other end of the block from the Bing Crosby Theater, or just across the street from the Fox. And even that seems somehow kind of perfect, isn't it?
Absolutely.
As a metaphor for you know, where you play.
You see, the thing is, one of my special guests, which we are going to introduce in a second, required a particular a set of skills that I don't possess. Mm-hmm. So I invited a John Hernandez, who is an aerial performer, and we had for this show we're hanging him from the ceiling, and he's going to do a bunch of acrobatics on the silks. So I call John, and it's like, okay, John, so when we trying to like hang you from the ceiling, how much weight do we actually like have to worry about? So it's like, I don't know, you know, for safety you should have a mounting point that, you know, can like hold 1,000 pounds. I'm like, oh, you know, I have no idea. So then I go and all of a sudden ask somebody who is a professional rigger to find a point. But then turns out that in the Knitting Factory they don't have a lift that can get the guys high enough. But the Fox Theater has a lift, and of course all the other our guys know each other, so it's like, oh yeah, we'll just bring the special lift. And then they go and 30 feet in the air, get the mounting point, and all is good. So actually proximity of the locations, and the fact that actually people even on the backside of the operation are good friends, kind of trying to get things together, you know, whether there are legal channels or not, just everybody knows everybody, it makes things happen. And that actually is quite a bit of a spirit of the M Show. There's a tremendous amount of collaboration that is happening to make this thing happen. I mean, I happened to be, you know, maybe a little spark, but really there's a tremendous amount of talent in Spokane that helps me develop this show. And we have very special guests that actually are joining us this time for the show as well. And they both are from Spokane.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's just keep focusing on John and the whole concept of being an aerialist. So move into the conversation, John, here. Good morning, John Hernandez.
Morning.
And so I think first we define, now I don't even know, do we call it your art, your craft, your world. What is an aerialist, spoken from the art point of view?
From an art point of view, it's somebody who I imagine just like a musician wakes up and has the passion to just want to get out there and practice their skills, their crafts, and make something to present and share it. Because if you're not sharing it, I mean, there is something about keeping it for yourself, but sharing it is essentially why some of us practice the skills that we do.
So did you climb trees as a kid?
I spent a lot of summers on the playground. Lots of summers. So I was sharing this last night, too. But I spent a lot of summers tagging along to my brother's baseball games. And I'm not a baseball fan. So I just went off and spent my entire summers just on the monkey bars, being upside down, hanging from my arms, and just not really having an outlet, but developing the strength to do a lot of the stuff that I do currently. And it wasn't until years later when, I've developed a strength, I just didn't have an outlet for it. I didn't know what to do with it. And eventually somebody pointed me in the right direction and took off.
So what is the outlet for an aerialist? I mean, what is the, when you're not doing the M Show, how are you practicing your craft? How are you being an aerialist in front of people, and what sort of venue?
Most of the time, I really practice my skills as a teacher, as an instructor. That's how I make my living down in the Portland area. I teach a number of classes doing this. And when I was first introduced to it, it changed my lifestyle pretty much. I was heading in one direction and not really sure if that's where I wanted to go. And then I found just this one thing, this aerial thing. And I was like, I want to invest some more time into this. I like what it's doing for myself. So slowly I started to shed things from a past life and I moved into a completely different direction. And I liked how it changed me and how it inspired me. And I was like, this would be something I would like to go ahead and share with more people. People who don't feel as though they are going to ever be able to lift themselves off the ground or turn upside down, or they might have the fear of doing that. And my goal is to help them with those goals that they have. So
when you're doing this in front of people, at what kind of event are you usually doing?
I have performed Halloween shows. I have performed for monthly shows in the Portland area as well.
I mean, like a show, like in because you have to have certain physical places to do it. Like Mateusz was just discussing, you have to have a thing to hang from that can support the weight. So is that on a stage usually, or in a gymnasium? Or
it's
where?
Most of the time it is up on a stage. Mm-hmm. There have been a few times where we, me with a group of people, we have done shows using an outdoor portable aerial rig, which we can get that up to 20 feet as well, which is more than enough space for some of us. So, but usually I'm up on a stage. This last October, we were on our very first, our biggest stage we've ever been on, which was the Lincoln Hall stage at Portland State University. Felt very spoiled that time around, so everyone got a vanity mirror.
So Mateusz, and you experienced an aerialist before. Was it John or was it?
Yes, actually, the impetus to start the whole M Show was a wonderful experience that I had here when Spokane Symphony did a collaboration with Terrain. And that's it was you know, we had a lot of guest artists. It was very collaborative environment. And John was one of the featured artists mm-hmm. during that show. And I remember watching him with amazement. And, you know, when he's talking about, you know, gaining strength and being acrobatic. But what I saw is that the way he expresses emotion through his, you know, acrobatics on the silks, it just really kind of, it's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. But it also kind of, you know, portrays where the, you know, what he's doing, where he's compelled to do what he does, and channels the emotion through the emotion in an incredibly great way. So for this show, when I was thinking and trying to figure out, okay, I do want to go to a place where me with the audience is going to actually talk about the defining moment of Beethoven's life, which was he realizes, okay, my hearing loss is happening. I'm never going to recover from it. And now I have essentially two ways to go about this. One, end my life, because, you know, I'm a musician that is losing hearing. You know, the worst thing that can possibly happen to you. Or I find a reason to keep on going. And that moment in his life, I think, is incredibly defining, because I honestly think that's why we still talk about him, besides him writing a fantastic music. But I think it's the moment where Beethoven made a decision, conscious decision, I have more to give to the world. And he went, he found the reason beyond himself, beyond his selfish interests of just, you know, being famous, making money and that kind of stuff. No, he wanted to change the hearts and minds of people with his music. But that very moment is incredibly dramatic, and I was trying to figure out how do you communicate it. You know, there's some pieces he wrote in that time, but that was not enough for me. And then I was thinking, you know, what if I have John come in and combine the music from that period with his expression of emotions? And I think it's absolutely electrifying effect, and I think the audiences are going to really be able to experience and look at Beethoven because of that in a very different way.
And so then now to the fairly specific of John the aerialist and Beethoven, what are you aerialing to in this?
We can reveal that. You know, so we actually, you know, so from the moment where Beethoven, I think, is in the kind of depth of his despair, he writes Moonlight Sonata, you know, the famous Moonlight mm-hmm. Sonata for the piano. Mm-hmm. We have an arrangement for a string quartet that, you know, again, I have a nice size orchestra for this M show, but for this kind of setting, I wanted to keep it acoustic and intimate. Mm-hmm. You know, so then we have that moment where we have a string quartet arrangement, and I think it works beautifully. And and I'm having mm-hmm. it brings mm-hmm. the right emotion to the surface to portray Beethoven. That's kind of our moment in the show. So I'm very proud of it. I'm very happy because we're going to be doing a lot of funny things and goofing around, but I always try to find a place where we get real for a second mm-hmm. and we really go and do a good art. And with that, I have John and also our other guest, who is another fantastic artist mm-hmm. that is collaborating with me on this project.
And we'll get to Chris in just a moment. My closing thought here about John and the aerialist. I remember that terrain show, and I remember the utterly gorgeous sense of the movement and the beauty and the gracefulness. I guess one last question for you, John. As an improvisatory dancer would do certain things when Beethoven Moonlight Sonata was playing, you're, I assume, crafting exactly what you do to that music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just like with anything, I listen to the music a few times before I even get onto the equipment. Listening to the music before even touching the equipment, it just kind of tells you, it's like this, the story that it wants to tell you, there's not going to be a lot of real dynamic movement. There is definitely going to be those moments that you pause and you really want to take that in and just reflect on, you know, where you're at, where you came from, and eventually how you're going to get yourself out of a situation with that. So I kind of approached making this act very much like that, where kind of hitting a point where there's nothing to do but to turn around and just try to find the light and find something to bring you out into that next area so that way you can continue going forth into that. So I hate using the word challenge, but it was a great experience to be able to once again work with classical music. Mm-hmm. I haven't had too many opportunities to do it, so it was a great experience to go ahead and build around that instead.
Nice. John Hernandez, the aerialist, who will be that part of the M show. And then to Chris Cook. Mm-hmm. And welcome, Chris.
Good morning, Bern.
And Chris Cook, who's no stranger to our airwaves in terms of his poetry. And Chris Cook, who recently has been crowned, literally, the Poet Laureate of Spokane with in a lovely ceremony a month or two ago. And so you are now emerging from your day job, if we will, as trumpet player of the Spokane Symphony.
Yes. Yeah. And so for the first time, I'll be amongst my colleagues with no trumpet on my face or in my hands. Yeah. or at the Knitting Factory. I'm going to leave it at home and just speak my words.
Yeah, okay. And so again, kind of your... So you knew once you discovered Chris, Mateusz, then how to make that fit into a Beethoven show.
So you know, so this is the one of the things that I'm very proud of what the M show is doing to us as a kind of group of people. You know, I've been playing with Spokane Symphony for 12 years now. And, you know, and we come to our job, we try to do it the best we can, and you find yourself that you're sharing a stage with people who, just simply because the work is hard, you don't really know. And I started to do the M show and put us in a very different environment with the very different challenges what we typically would do. Part of it is because I wanted us to get to know each other. And all of a sudden, you know, as I'm looking for who could be my next special guest for the M show? And I usually would try to reach out to somebody that does something entirely different than we do as musicians. But then all of a sudden it turns out that Chris, besides being a fantastic trumpet player, he's a poet, you know. And I was trying already for a couple of years, trying to figure out how could I incorporate poetry into the M show. Because again, you know, but then, you know, Chris sent me a couple of links actually from your station to some of his poems. Mm. And so I took a listening, and there's the one poem about Dr. Seuss that is, well, I would say it's mildly inappropriate at times, which is exactly my type of humor. Mm. And I was like, my God, this is awesome. I mean, I want the audiences that either come to our concerts or that are not related to classical music at all, I want them to hear that because this is great. And, you know, and also the fact that he's been recognized as a poet laureate, you know, that's another stamp of approval that we are dealing with something that is really, really special. Mm-hmm. So then I asked Chris, I was like, hey, would you mind to be part of the act? Mm. And Chris was absolutely fantastic. He's like, oh, sure, you know, check this out, what I wrote. And I just really fall in love with his brain. And, you know, let me put it this way. Chris doesn't look like a rock star. But when you start to get to know him, you start to peel like one layer after another layer, makes him more and more fascinating person to get to know. And you know, and is so again, this whole ability to kind of meet somebody and start to look at them in a different light. That's part of the mission of the M show. I mean, all of a sudden reveals this fantastic guy that I, you know, I kind of sort of knew, but I didn't. And now the M show allows us to, for me to get to know him better, and also the audiences to get to know him better. So now, how does this relate to Beethoven? Well, you know, besides the humor, which Beethoven was also full of, you know, incorporating poetry and music. Actually, if you think about this, Beethoven was the first composer that incorporated a poem into his symphony, right? In his ninth symphony. You know, nobody ever done that before. So I figured we do our little mini version of doing that, and actually we're going to combine one of his Chris's poems with Beethoven's string quartet, you know, as a soundtrack. And to my surprise, as I was trying to kind of find something that would fit, I honestly think that we found a movement that really captures the mood of what his poem is about. We'll be doing Tunnel Vision with the Opus 18 number 3 second movement. And it works beautifully. And, you know, so I couldn't be more happy to have Chris actually join us and share his poetry. And we found a good place in the show also to kind of put it in so it feels very natural.
So we won't give away that poem and
nope.
or that piece of music. But we do need a little bit of Chris. So Chris, what did you bring for us today?
I've got a poem today called Douge Mert. I took a walk the other day when life was not so good. I found a stump to sit upon where cedars once had stood. My eyes then wandered downward to a heaping mound of poo. That this might be symbolic of my life, perhaps was true. And then I saw him squirming there atop that bovine pie, a solitary maggot, just a lonely little guy. Just then, a lovely female maggot surfaced with a bloop from deep within the layers of that pungent pile of poop. He saw the way she blobbed and stretched her moist, elastic body and longed to meet this fair maggot, this gorgeous little hottie. Then, speaking with the fervent hope that things with her might gel, he said, "Mon Ulfisch lieb," which means, "I love the way you smell." She recognized the language, their poetic ancient tongue, which signified his pure intents that morning on the dung. He sang her songs of love, "Wut zangen, oh, mir Schatzi weening." She didn't need to translate, because his eyes conveyed the meaning. It seems she'd fallen hard for that sincere, sweet-talking grub. She cooed, "Mir lebin maskinu," which means, "It's you, I lub." He said, "Douge mert," means home sweet crap, then kissed her long and deep. She smiled and whispered, "Ja, douge mert." They sighed and went to sleep. I stayed a while and thought about how close I'd come to missing all the tender little things that led to maggots kissing. So, love is love, and sometimes life reveals its truths and graces at unexpected times and in the lowliest of places.
Chris Cook and his poem. Thank you.
I've
independently known that poem, but I welcome its inclusion into the radio of that and so many things that Mateusz just described. And now Mateusz and I are going to talk about you for a minute, and you're just going to have to put up with it. And what you're experiencing is what I've experienced for a while in going to Chris's poetry readings, that Chris's lifetime of being on stage, of playing music, and then not only in the symphony but in ensembles and things, and of communicating with people, puts him frankly beyond many, many poets who cannot perform.
Oh, you know, I think, you know, I mean, the first half of, I guess, being a good poet is to being able to put something on a page, but actually being able to perform and deliver. Mm-hmm. I mean, the truth is that we are, you know, as Chris is reciting his poem from memory, might I say, mm-hmm. for people who don't see it, you know, we are all trying not to crack up, mm-hmm. and because we know that the mics are hot. I mean, it's mm-hmm. you know, and that is exactly, you know, that's one of the reasons why I think he's so fantastic, but also, you know, the being a musician, you know, forces you to plan and prepare. You know, one of the big things about the M show is that we also explore the science part of playing the instruments, putting the show together. And partially it's because we have Chris and he's a trumpet player. Part of our science presentation on this M show is going to be a drop test of a trumpet. What is a drop test? You know, if you go on YouTube, there's this whole subgenre of drop tests of a cell phone. You know, somebody goes, buys a cell phone, and they drop it from a certain height on the sidewalk and see, did it crack, did it not? Now, on one hand, it's kind of like it's like watching a train wreck. You cannot not watch it. So I think mm-hmm. that's what makes those videos quite popular. But on the other hand, they're very informative. You know, I mean, after I've seen one of the videos, I buy a new phone. Before it even, like, I take it out of the case, out of the box, I already buy, like, a protective case because I'm pretty clumsy and I drop my phone all the time. So seeing what happens on somebody else's phone, this is very educational. I buy a case, I'm happy, right? Now, I realize that nobody does the drop test of classical instruments. Accidents happen. So the question is, if you drop an instrument on your way to a stage, will you be able to play it? So we proceeded to do a very scientific study of what happens when you drop the trumpet with some fascinating results. And we have it all recorded on the video. So part of the show is that we have a live act, so live performance, but also we kind of pepper through the show a digital shorts, kind of like Saturday Night Live style, the things that we cannot essentially do in a space, mm-hmm. In a performance space, when we take essentially an audience on a 2-3 minute journey outside, and you know, and some of them like crazy experiments I did on the other show. I did liquid nitrogen experiments mm-hmm. with great results. We were torturing percussion instruments. This time it was the trumpet's turn to see if we can inflict some sort of damage on it. And again, I have to say, fascinating results. So if you would like to know what happens when you drop a trumpet from 30 feet, we had to go that high to actually inflict some real damage, then you have to come to the M show and see what the result of it was, because it's absolutely fascinating. And actually, we had a lot of fun doing that sciencey bit.
Okay, I'm going to give you your ultimate challenge here. Well, we always look for a new one for you. What does the trumpet drop test have to do with Beethoven?
Go you for know, it. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm all prepared for you there. I did my homework. So no. Check this out. Here's a segue. Beethoven, when he was trying to you know, find a way how to deal with his hearing loss, you know, he met this inventor. Johann Malzel, who also invented the metronome. But this guy actually developed a bunch of hearing devices that looked like trumpets. So, you know, it turns out that actually Beethoven was very much interested, not only because of his illness, but I think he was very much forward-looking, not only with his compositions, but he was fascinated with technology. He was a techie. You know, everything, you know, use of the metronome, use of those hearing devices. He was fascinated with the automatons that would perform kind of music on their own. So in a way, I find that there was a big scientific curiosity in Beethoven. And also, if you look at it, the process, how he writes his pieces, he keeps refining it like, you know, like an iron ore. Like, oh, no, that's not pure enough. Let me try do more of that. So that is my connection of actually the science and the Beethoven here for you.
Perfect.
Do I make a good case?
You made a
thank you very much.
and again, people can't see it on the radio, but I kept a straight face through the whole explanation. So,
thank you very much.
So you convinced me. Yeah. And so there are a few of the delights in the M show, which is tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Knitting Factory. And I keep saying that. Note the change, because it used to be at Terrain, and now it's at the Knitting Factory. You're trying a new venue and constantly trying new things. So congratulations on all the frontiers that you're. That you're going to.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I mean, we've been looking, we've been kind of jumping from one space to another. Truth is, the M show is a very unique creation. There is literally nobody in the world, in the symphony world, that is trying to do what we do. You know, it's quite complicated. It's a fusion of many different elements. And classical musicians also trying to be, on one hand, incredibly professional, but on the other hand, not taking ourselves too seriously, you know, and getting out of the concert hall, out of our taxes and very formal way of presenting, to make it a lot more accessible, more digestible, and also just, you know, having fun and showing people how much we love doing what we do and what are the reasons behind it. I let people see a little peek behind the curtain. Mm. Who are the musicians? Who are the composers? Mm. You know, if you ever thought that, okay, classical music is this intimidating, very complicated art, well, we are doing M Show to show you, no, it's not. And come and have fun with us. Become our friend and don't be afraid. Water is warm. Also, we're doing it at the bar. You can buy a drink. Nobody's going to yell at you. Mm. And we'll even let you use your cell phone. Actually, one of the things we'll do at the show, we'll do some social media challenges for the audience with some prizes.
There you go. The M Show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Knitting Factory. Thank you, Mateusz. And certainly a pleasure to meet you, John Hernandez. And to see you up close as well as within your art. And certainly always welcome back to our microphones, Chris Cook.